Beethoven's Seventh Symphony was called by Wagner the apotheosis of the dance, and the still later generation was misguided enough to dance a ballet to it. And yet the word apotheosis was a good one, in the sense of being elevated or released from earthly trappings. Rhythm, if not dance, is the dominating factor in all four movements of the Seventh. The rhythms are, however, allied with and directed by Beethoven's mastery of key relationships, so that for all its vitality and spontaneity, the Seventh Symphony is a triumph of musical architecture. We've just heard the beginning of the vivace of the first movement with its all-pervading dotted rhythm. As we might have guessed, the rhythmic pattern predated the formation of the actual themes in the sketches. Notterbohm traced the growth of the symphony in an incompletely preserved sketchbook discovered in Vienna. But the 6/8 time also yielded, or so it seems, a precursor of the scherzo. The opening figure of that has an obvious affinity with the scherzo. And yet the 6/8 notation of the sketch links it with work on the first movement. Compare, for example, this aside in the sketch marked viola. Compare that with a familiar phrase in the first movement. Meanwhile, the sketches appear to lose the dotted rhythm. Although that two-bar fragment was at the same time a turning point. It links up with the dotted rhythm. The dotted rhythm becomes its accompaniment. Eventually, the theme itself is pervaded by it. Here are some progressive sketches for the second part of the theme. Beethoven was to offset this vivace with a large-scale sostenuto introduction. In these opening moves, a vast key scheme is already disclosed. If I may compress for a moment the harmonic journey that we have undertaken. C major and F major will later be established as keys in the introduction, and the former will also be the opening key of the development of the vivace. And F major, the key of the scherzo. But this long-term planning of harmony and key affects the whole symphony. It's apparent in this sketch for the opening, in which, however, the wind phrases are notated in crotchets and not minims. There, at the top of a scale of semiquavers, we return to the home key with the mark forte. The expansion of this into a series of three rising scales, the first two pianissimo, saving a crescendo for the third, added a further dimension to the symphony, the deployment of dynamics, contrasts of piano and forte, etc., that demand the most scrupulous observation from the performers. Notice that we gravitate again to C major for the introduction's own second subject. This we find sketched in a highly ornate pianistic form with indefinite note values. In the symphony, as we just heard, the decoration was simplified. And as the theme unfolds, a repeated note figure is played against it in the woodwind. Simple as it may seem, this rhythmic counterpoint becomes vitally important. It links up with the semiquaver scales, and it carries within it a means of launching the Vivace that is to come. A sketch for this transition. Contains one irrelevant rhythm, to be replaced with an even more economical one, from which the Vivace 6-8 rhythm is launched. And now let's hear this process in the orchestra, a passage that would be meaningless out of context, but in its place a miracle of economy, logic, suspense, and resolution. One slight change was needed in the first bar of this theme. The sketches favor this, final shaping had a dramatic outcome in the coda and in the bass, providing the famous ostinato. If this was the passage that made Weber declare Beethoven ripe for the madhouse, posterity has proved otherwise. As I have shown, it's thematically relevant. It is the one place where the dotted rhythm is temporarily suppressed to return with greater vigor in the final climax, where the ultimate triumph is not so much of theme as of rhythm and the key of A major. Of the second movement of the Seventh Symphony comes 4 or 5 years before the sketches I've been discussing for the first movement. It appears to have been considered as part of the third Razumovsky quartet. Quartet was to have a slow movement in that key of A minor, but with quite different material. The other A minor theme, this was salvaged by Beethoven as he worked on the Seventh Symphony and written down with hints of its harmonization. There's more than a hint there of the particular pathos of the major third falling to the minor. Though this change was to occur within the bar. Over the sketch, Beethoven wrote Anfang, beginning. There's no sign at this stage of the introductory 6-4 chord that also ends the movement. Nor has the cadence phrase of the theme changed its simple repeated notes into the more eloquent rising scale figure. Beethoven also wrote over this sketch the word variations, though we can hardly describe the end product as variations in the normal sense. The power and pathos of the movement depend on cumulative repetition. There are variants in accompaniment and layout, but the theme itself is never far away. Its rhythm persists in the bass even when the clarinet introduces a new episode beginning in A major. Thank you. greatest masterstroke in this allegretto was the invention of the counter-subject that goes with the A minor theme, and which, according to Beethoven's markings, should balance with it and not overbalance it. First movement in A major, a second in A minor with two prolonged glimpses of A major, and a finale obviously destined to be in this same home key. This set an interesting tonal problem when it came to the third movement, the scherzo. Beethoven chose the unorthodox key of F major, which had nevertheless played an important part in the introduction of the symphony. Yet, as though instinctively, the scherzo has not gone far before it gravitates violently from F to the home key of A. And in this key of A, it might normally have expected itself to be written. Let's just hear this first section of the scherzo. Has great significance even when that note is insisted upon unharmonized. It opens up another door in key relationships to the D major of the trio section. But now let's consider the sketches for the scherzo, a presto opening with cross accents. Suddenly collapsing onto a pianissimo pause on the note A. We don't know from the sketch what harmony was implied here. A unison, an F major chord, or in fact an A major one. The last of these seems unlikely since the sketch continues in F. Another sketch marked second part introduces the familiar reign of rapid crotchets. This is marked already, sempre pianissimo, which has some bearing on the first return of the scherzo in the completed symphony, where a large portion of it is in fact indicated sempre piano. In the sketches, a more definite theme takes shape. This comes to nothing unless we deduce that it was deflected into this. Meanwhile, a small but important feature is lacking, the slurred minim crotchet figure. And here we meet another fascinating cross-current between different works. Beethoven had already sketched an overture, the little-known Narman's Fire, opus 115, on this theme. The overture took a different rhythmic turn and, incidentally, a different key. Why the change from this to this? Surely the scherzo of the seventh was responsible, for it had meanwhile adopted the former version and used it fairly exhaustively. I mentioned the scherzo's strong gravitational pull towards A major, the key of the symphony. which in turn resolved into the D major of the trio. This was counterbalanced by a subtle handling of key at the opening of the finale, a theme in but not on A, and preceded by a short fanfare on the dominant. There was a still stronger leaning to the dominant in the following sketch. This appeared among sketches for the previous movements, but was marked finale, and another sketch, also intermingled, shows the emergence of the familiar subject. Alternative ending is added. The sketches then concentrate on the finale. The second half of this theme is, in Notterbohm's words, found. How often the gradual refinement in the sketches strikes the onlooker as a simplification. For the opening bars will emerge as these. In the subject itself, the rather angular leaps will give way to adjacent notes, thus throwing into prominence the one arresting leap within the finished theme. And the transition, originally this, is, as it were, ironed out in a later sketch. And beneath that last example, Beethoven made a verbal note of the future course of the music. Goes first into F sharp minor and then to C sharp minor. Did he envisage that the theme itself would produce the modulations? In that case, he changed his mind, relying instead on the figures of the first subject. But F sharp minor and C sharp minor, these remain the objectives of the exposition. But just as important, more important in fact, in the earlier stages than the detail, are the direction of the music and the shape of the whole.